Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million, didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Initech.
No, you're working at Initech because that question is bullshit to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
I'm talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl. Or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Well, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do
If I had $1 million, if I had
Hello, welcome to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howley, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. We also have Mr. Brennan Cornyn. SP Futures up 23.50. Dow Futures up 187. NASDAQ Futures up 97. This is after yesterday's, it can only be described as a melt-up in the FANG stocks. Every one of those stocks, you know, transportation average was down. I think the Dow was actually down. It finished up 8 points. The NASDAQ was up 2.5 points, and like Amazon was up $200. It means it's an absolute total melt-up. It's 2000 all over again, it appears. It doesn't mean we have to go down like we did in 2000, but it's curious to say the least. Brendan, how are you?
I'm doing fine this morning, Chief. How are you doing?
All right. I assume you bought Amazon on Friday night and made the 200 and some bucks yesterday.
I should have talked to you over the weekend to do that. I should talk to you Friday.
It's not like I didn't think, you know, something like this was going to happen with the money piling in like it's doing, but you just never really know when the top is, when it seems like it's accelerated like this. I mean, it's pretty amazing when you talk to the Microsoft every single day, Apple every single day, you know, the Teslas of the world. I mean, you're talking about five stocks that are now, you know, some huge percentage of the whole market. And, you know, you wonder what a lot of decisions are political. A lot of the stuff, I still am kind of stunned at how Apple continues to be in the middle of this China-U.S. thing, and they come out smelling like a rose more every day. And I don't know. I mean, just something I would never have. I feel the same way. Only 10 times more on steroids than back when every tobacco company was in court all over the country, and all they did was go up and pay big dividends. You know, you wonder. But it seems like the same thing to me.
Yeah, I'm amazed. I keep getting these notices throughout the day about the market going way, way down, and all of a sudden it turns around and it's way up, or else it's up, has a big drop. I mean, you must be getting whiplash trying to determine what's happening from hour to hour.
Well, the only thing that I'm very disappointed at is I'm my gold and silver that I've been ridden for a long time, all of a sudden I've gotten kind of buried in some of my GDX calls, and I'm just going to have to go get long in there again. I mean, the silver I'm doing great in, but I mean, it's essentially, it looks to me like it's finally an inflation overload. There's so much money in the system, it's just finding places, and it's supposed to be going to the lowest common denominator. But as usual, we're winging in a political statement. Everything these people do, Brendan, you know, 40% of people making less than 40 grand a year are unemployed. We're pouring money into the system. Anybody who owns stock, it's going to the moon. And it's like a race for the election. We're going to pour out more money for people, and we're going to run the market up, and then we'll wait and see what happens in December. What the hell happens in December? The whole world collapses or what?
Well, in racing, there's a term, and in marathon racing, it's usually that distance about the first 100 yards after the finish line, which is called the drop zone. And it's because as you get closer and closer to the finish line, people who are exhausted from running 26 miles see that finish line 0.2 of a mile away, so they accelerate and run as hard and as fast as they can to get there. Then they stop, they lean over, they put their hands on their knees, and then they collapse. They just drop. The finish line is reached, and they don't even think about getting beyond the finish line and what happens then. That sounds exactly with what you're talking about.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not, it's very, you have to be involved. You've got to be in the market. All right, you can't miss out on this piece. of manna from heaven, basically. And yet, you also can't be caught when it's time to turn. And you know, the normal creatures you see on TV and so forth are so full of themselves that they're convinced they're going to get the memo. I've been around way too long. They're not going to get the memo. There's a few people are going to get it, and it's not going to be them. I'm just sorry. And it's not going to be me. So you're going to have to prepare.
Or if you do get the memo, it's going to be a day later than everybody else.
Right. So the only thing you can do is have your people, I mean, for me anyway, my thought is the only thing I can do is have my people protected. We'll participate in this as much as we can. Although I'll tell you what, it's real hard to keep up the queues. I mean, they're up, you know, every single day. They're up like 3 or 4% yesterday. I mean, when you're doing any kind of an attempt to even sell way out of the money calls, I mean, 2 or 3 days of 3%, you're chasing those things. But thankfully, the volatility stayed high enough in there. We've been able to do rolls. But Brent, I want to ask you specifically. I brought up the subject last week. Some of our other dudes, and I don't know if they have they don't have the same knowledge of how does when you hear stuff about how. Must have been 2 months ago, Maddie, we were talking about it. I read that like 6 or 7 states, if they didn't get help from the federal government in 2 or 3 months, they're going to start bouncing their unemployment checks and probably other checks as well. But I guess you can not send out the other checks, but you have to send out the unemployment checks, right?
Mm-hmm.
When people expect them. So they're all looking for, quote, help from Washington. And I just was wondering, what exactly is that help? Now, I was thinking out loud. It's either that it's a flat-out loan, okay, which I don't know how the hell that could work, or there's some kind of rainy day fund that Congress has that if a state does get in trouble, they can just parcel them out money. I guess they still want to get paid back, or I suppose you could have a secret, double-secret bond issue that the Fed comes in and buys or something. How does that work? I mean, who calls who? I mean, Jay, you know, and Manny and I have been kind of going back and forth about. I said he's not all that nice to Trump, which I can understand. But then the next day, they're looking for money, and Manny says, "Well, that's our money." And I guess I don't know if it's an act of Congress that says, "Look, here's $40 billion. That if any state gets in trouble, write him a check and gives that direction to Mnuchin." Or if it's a loan, or who grants the loan, or what's the process? I mean, how would that work? Do you have any idea?
Well, Congress can allocate funds to the state. I mean, they can enact legislation to provide funds to the state. That is something that's within their power to do. Then you've got to wonder if Trump would sign that, of course, and make sure that it gets parceled out to the states that need it the most, which often the states that he's browbeating.
Yeah. So was it part of that?
But yes, I mean, Congress could come up with a program to allocate money to the government, just like they could for local governments as well.
Well, was it part of the original CARE Act that gave everybody the $1,200 and everything, that there was some money in there for the states? There might have been.
I don't think there was, and not to the state. I think that there was talk about giving some money to local municipalities and that, but I don't think the states were included in that.
Because
remember that there was that play by Don Harmon, the president of the Illinois State Senate, who wanted part of the package to include $40 billion amount of money allocation for the state of Illinois, $10 billion of which was to repay the outstanding pension debt shortfall in the state of Illinois. And there was a big, rightfully so, a big uprising about that. And then the question is, you know, will the Congress act to help with the current problem, or will they also try to solve past problems and deficiencies?
Well, I mean, the question still is, where the hell did they get it? Illinois was only one of about 5 or 6. There was a couple that were like, within like 2 weeks of the things bouncing.
Mm-hmm.
And it never happened, so they must have got the money from someplace.
Well, I think, you know, they're not yet at the end of their fiscal year, so there's still some money to allocate, and then it comes down to whether they're going to be able to make payments by the end of the year. So they're still pushing out that draconian deadline, and they're probably not paying their vendors any more than they have been before. You know, Illinois is an example that at one time people would have loved to have a contract with the state of Illinois because you think with the government is that you're certainly going to get your money pretty quickly and on time. And Illinois was something like 6 or 7 years behind schedule in making your payments. So when you think about an economic hit, if you're a small business owner trying to build your business, and a big part of your, even like 20-30% even of your business is with the state, with a state contract, but they're not paying you for 3, 4, 5 years, you're not going to be in business very long.
I have heard rumors, when they say murmurs in the mist, whispers in the wind, that there's only two very politically connected companies that the state will factor receivables for.
I don't know if it's two, but there's only a couple that will do that, because that is another way that the vendors get paid, that they can go to the factoring companies, and they'll take 60-70% of the money that's owed to them, and depending on how old it is, maybe a little bit more or a little bit less. But you're right, there are a limited number of firms that are permitted to do that and buy the debt of the state.
And I think the rewards to those firms are huge, like 12% interest or something.
Yes, huge. Because after there's a state law that says that after a certain period of time, I don't remember if it's 60 days or something like that, the interest rate goes up on what's owed on the debt. And by debt, I mean a contractual payment. That if you chief provide services to the state of Illinois and you submit your invoice in a timely fashion and they don't pay it in 60 days, it goes up. It's called the Prompt Payment Act of Illinois. And that was put in place to force the state of Illinois to promptly pay its vendors. Now here's the interesting thing, that if I'm one of those factoring companies and you don't get paid for a year, and you say, I've got to do something with this. So I say, okay, I'll give you 50 cents for that obligation from the state. I'm going to take the risk. I've got the financial resource that I can bear the risk, even if it's not going to be paid for another 2 or 3 years. So I'm not only getting the full value of that debt, and you say they owe you $100, and I give you 50 for it, I get the full $100 from the state when it's paid, plus interest. Not only at the normal accrual, but also at the bumped up accrual that continues to rise over the course of that period of time. So your $100, you know, think of in 7 years, could be $1,000. I'm taking an example, and I get a $1,000 payment for $50.
Well, I know when people used to factor receivables, when my stepfather was in the watch business and so forth, they used to factor them at for 90 days, and it would be like in the 95-98% range. Not 60.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say that the same people who are politically connected enough, in fact, one of the names, which I won't say, let's just say he's in the news right now. Just saying. With Commonwealth Edison. Again, not saying any names. But one of the companies is his, or one of his shadow companies. So let me get this straight. You hit somebody up for, first of all, walking through my stupid numbers head, Brendan, which I've been saddled with since whenever. So, okay, so you know that this is going to happen to you, all right, that you're not going to get paid, and that you don't have the wherewithal to wait, say, a couple of years, because you got other business to do. So in order for you to do business, if it's Brendan and Maddie Weber and Chief's, stoplight changing, bulb changing company, if the job is worth $500,000, if we have any brains whatsoever, our initial bid's going to be $800,000,
uh-huh.
Which gets her down into the five. So after we get done selling it to, shall we say, Mike, we're back down to the $500,000 we should have had in the first place. I mean,
uh-huh.
we may be that stupid the first time, but we're not going to be that stupid the second time, I don't think.
Uh-huh.
Maybe we are, but I doubt it. So. Now, let's just say the guy's name is Mike. Now, what he does is, I'm sure the same political largesse has him in with a bank. It says, we'll loan you the money at 5% right now, or 4, which is a good deal for us, and better than second with the Treasury at 1% overnight, or 0.5%. So we'll give you the money. We know the state's good for it, especially to you. and by the way, you make 10 to 12... So there's a nice little spread on money that's not even yours. It's called leverage, I believe. And then, by the way, if you gave these idiots, Matt and Brendan and Chief, even if you gave them 75 cents on the buck, 2 years from now, you see you make 6% interest on the 500 grand or 800 grand. And, oh, by the way, you make, say, 150 grand the day they pay. Now, that's not bad business, Brendan. It's just not bad business. Matt, do you think we live on that?
I understand your point that with your stepfather, the factory was at a 95%, but I know that in the case of some of the Illinois vendors, they were taking substantially less. It may not have been the 56 that I mentioned, but it's pretty low. It's not the 95, 96% that you'd normally get from a factory where you're looking for a 30 or a 60 or a 90-day hold, because Illinois has been so far behind in the payments, literally years behind their payments, that the factory is much lower than what you would typically get in a normal cash flow business.
What was the, oh God, I'm going to show my age here. What was the, again, what was, I want to ask Matty because he never heard of it or remembered it. I don't think. Matty, you can slap me if I'm wrong. You ever hear of it? What is it? FOB 90, was it 130, 1 net 30 or something like that? Was the nomenclature? You know what that means, Matty?
No.
I'm not saying it 100% correct, but I'm 90% correct. If you did some
work
for someone
with 90 days payment, that,
yeah.
The shipper, the vendor would ship it out, put it on the board with a bill of lading that they don't have to pay anything to get it on board, but
right.
The receiver has to pay for the freight. And if it's, you get a discount. If you pay within 15, 30 days,
yeah.
You get a discount of 1%, 2%. If you pay in cash, you get a 1% or 2% discount. Otherwise, you've got to pay full fare by 30 or 60 days.
Yeah, maybe so if you guys went out and bought, you know, 10,000 jars or something, they'd say you got to pay us within 90 days, but if you pay us within 30, you get to take a percent off, is essentially what it said. So for people who factored receivables, you're only factoring them for 90 days. So you'd go out to the, I mean, if the
I'm
bank,
surprised they allowed 90-day window to pay.
Well, sometimes it was 60.
The most I've ever seen is net 60.
Okay, well then, maybe it was 60, take one off, you pay it within 15. Whatever, there was always a little break if you paid it soon. But if you went to your bank,
the sooner you pay, the better you got.
But if you went to your bank, and everybody was good for it, just to get under the 90 days, you wanted it tomorrow, the number was like, I think my stepfather used to get like 99 or 98 or some number, Brendan, maybe 97. It wasn't 60.
I know, but now you're looking at payments that are not going to be paid within the next couple of days.
Right.
Not even 90 days. You're looking at several years accrual.
But there wasn't there was no interest rate scam in those days. There were the states accruing you at 12 and a bank you find is going to do 5. I mean, there's people who sit on that one forever.
Anyway, we're talking about minutiae here. Instead of the real concept, I mean, the concept that you're talking about is where are the states going to get the money?
Yeah.
And they would have to get this from the federal government or their own tax revenues and service fees. And that, we know, is not going to happen because of how much things are locked down right now.
Do you think that they...
You also brought up another interesting point about utilities company that's in the news, because that is another huge... bit of information that I think is greatly going to impact the state of Illinois in the near future.
Manny, we had, I'm sorry, who's the gentleman we had on Thursday? The guy who knows everything about the bond markets?
Dan Janitas.
Dan Janitas.
Curtis Capel.
He was saying how there's, in the municipal bond markets, there's a bid, Brendan, and they've been doing very well. I mean, it doesn't surprise me. Dan seems like a really smart guy. Do you think that somehow sneakily, that the state of Illinois is sneaking some extra bonds out there and the Fed's buying them?
No, I don't. I don't think that it would be impossible for them to do that on the side without anybody knowing about it or without much publicity. I mean, they're required to go into with some disclosure. They have to disclose when they're selling. So the fact that they're issuing some super secret bond that the Feds are buying is not realistic.
Brendan, when you talk about you couldn't do it, in this day and age, I'm going to push back a hair. If you get the right and the left fighting about something at 10 o'clock in the morning, you could move the state of California to another planet by 10 and nobody will know about it.
All right, I take your point, but my point is that it has to be disclosed. Whether anybody's paying attention to it or not, that's a separate question. But I don't think a bond transaction would not be able to be accomplished in a day. So if there's something that's really exciting the market and distracting the attention of the market, I don't think they're just going to slip in having everything ready to go, waiting for that day.
I
don't think it's possible.
Is there such a thing as, I use the term treasury stack, and I'm getting old rabies in people's heads, but if you issue stack as a company, say PTI goes out and decides we have a big stack issue, and we let loose 20 million shares, I don't know what they'd trade for, Brendan, but they wouldn't be $50, but they'd be something. But so we let loose those things, and things got good, and we bought some of them back. And when you bring that back in, it's called treasury stack. It's issued, but now you bought it back, and it's issued stack that's now in the treasury. Do the states ever go out and let's say when times are good, which I can't remember when they were for the state of Illinois, do they, if they go out and buy some of those bonds on the open market in because they think they're a good buy, say the interest rates go down and the bond's trading for, I guess if the interest rates went up and the bond's trading for a discount, they might go out and say, let's buy some of these in at 90 cents on the buck or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
If that were to happen, can they reissue those?
If it's their own debt, if the state of Illinois or the city of Chicago or Cook County were to buy back their own bonds, they cannot hold them like treasury stock. Once they pull them back in, they're deemed to be redeemed in full, and they cannot be reissued.
Okay, so it's not the same thing. They couldn't have a little drawer of those things for a rainy day to be able to put back out.
Not their own debt.
Okay.
Not their own debt. But if the city of Chicago issued a bond and bought it back, they can't store it like treasury stock. That is under federal law, that's deemed to be paid and redeemed in full, and it cannot be reissued. That's extinguished.
I've been accused the last few days, Brendan, of by Maddie, and rightfully so, and I really don't want to do this, but of kind of being a glass half empty kind of guy. And the reason why I'm there is that when this all started to happen, and well, I'm going to say it happened before April, but when people started recognizing all this was happening, middle of March, let's say, St. Patrick's Day, and everything got shut down, it seems like everybody had the mental picture that we're, at worst case, 4th of July, even though most people thought 15, 30, 45 days, something like that, we would, I won't say be back to normal, but at least we'd be doing something. And it seems like everybody, you know, I'll use the term shot their wad, with money and everything up until a certain point. And now all of a sudden, everything I read, unfortunately, everything I read is we're having a second dip. When I said it yesterday morning on the show, and I'm thinking I must be the only one seeing this, first thing after the show, I turn on CNBC and they're talking about how airline travel is starting to dip back down again. What if, I'm just hoping this is like a couple of week pause here where people are on vacation in northern Wisconsin, wherever the hell they went, what if we got to do this all over again, Brendan? I don't know that we can. I mean, I don't know where that money's going to come from. The couple of places I go, you know, things are being shut down again. I stopped downstairs last night, and there's one little bar in the whole area in our building, and they got nothing, Brendan. There's nobody.
I share your concern that it is going to be a double dip and it's going to get worse. And, you know, there are two things on the short-term horizon. One is, in another week or so, that extra $600 a week goes away, and that hasn't been extended yet, which is going to have an impact on lower-wage workers and people who are still, dealing with the economy and going out and buying some things. The second thing is when the PPP program ends with the airlines, and look at the devastation. It looks like it's going to happen around October 1st when they start their layoffs. Those are two huge industries and two huge factors that are going to really drive down the economy again. And I do think that what we're seeing is leading to more shutdowns across the country. So, yes, I share your concern that it's going to be another huge drop. And I also think that the numbers that came out a couple of weeks ago that Trump was touting are false measurements, because they were measurements that happened right before this second wave or this continuation of the wave through the South and Western states when the state started to reopen, and was right about the same time that those numbers were happening and reported, that the layoffs and the closures of a lot of the tourism industry started hitting again.
See, Brennan, I don't...
Social Security.
It's very easy to say that what's going on in the second downturn in Chicago and New York and Connecticut has stuff to do with, you know, Arizona and Florida essentially going through the same process we went through here in March and April. I don't think there's any connection at all. I just think that this area here, we're just not coming back. I mean, people are worried about the $600. I don't know. Some combination of, you got to cut that number down a little bit and maybe do what Larry Kudlow's talking about. You know, some of the stuff with the decreased payroll tax and something. I mean, somewhere along the line, we got to start moving people to open.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, you hate like hell to send somebody, but be honest, we sat out by the front window or outside last night. Brennan, who the hell am I going to catch the virus from? The only people in there were the three people I came in with.
that goes a long way to stopping the spread.
If
staying within your bubble, that's going to do it.
Yeah, well, all right, Brennan, thank you very much, buddy. Talk to you next week, if not sooner. SP Futures up 24, NASDAQ Futures up 90. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter, the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tim Ollies, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. S&P futures up 26 after a very strong rally yesterday, especially in tech. Other stuff not so much, but the tech for sure. NASDAQ up 97, so it's really, I mean, this thing's on fire, absolutely on fire. Dow up 177. Yesterday, Dow was only up 9 points, but today everything's up. Apple, Boeing, I mean, you name it. There isn't a stock in the Dow that's down. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 226, 1.7%. FTSE up 29.4%. CAC around up 58, 1.1%. So we're going to call it the Weimar world here at one point. Nikkei up 166.7%. Shanghai up 6.2%. Hang Seng up 577, 2.3%. Now, yesterday the Shanghai was way up. Hang Seng was not, so they're catching up today. So it's evening out there. Bonds, 10 years, 0.62. The bonds are not showing any happiness with what's going on in the economy, and yet the stock market sure as hell is. One minus 0.45, Japan positive 0.01, so those things have not moved. Really, no matter where the market goes, they haven't moved. Oil up a buck and a quarter, 42.06. Brent up 144, 44.72. Natural gas unchanged, RBOB up 4 cents. And gold, I mean, if this isn't inflation, I mean, I don't know what is. Silver's up another 74 cents. Gold up 10.79, 18.28. Copper up 2 cents at 293. Heading back toward that $3. We'll see if they make it. Maddie, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We are very quiet on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. Absolutely no slowdowns, accidents, or stalls to speak of. So enjoy a nice quiet commute if you're coming in to downtown today, because there are no issues at this time. Weather today, we'll have lots of clouds early and then some showers later on and off throughout the day, a high of 81. Right now it's overcast and 73 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies and hot, a high of 108 today. Right now it's mostly clear and 90. In sports, the Cubs and White Sox played their second of back-to-back exhibition games against each other, this time down on the south side, and it was the White Sox topping the Cubs 5-3 down at Guaranteed Rate. The White Sox opened the game with a 5-run first off of Yu Darvish, highlighted by a grand slam from former Cubs prospect and now White Sox slugger Eloy Jimenez. And that's all the White Sox needed, as they got to Yu early and then held on to beat the Cubs, who rallied with 3 runs in the 7th but couldn't quite get over the hump, as the White Sox beat the Cubs 5-3. Season opens for both teams on Friday. Chief.
Hey, can I get a recall election and find a mayor that can find a way to put 1,000 people in one of those stadiums that are 50 feet apart? Because I think you could.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
Joel, how are you, bud?
Good morning, Chief. Good morning, Maddie. It's good to hear a little sports talk, huh?
Detroit? What are those guys doing? Are you guys in the running for Toronto to play at your place?
You know, I have not heard about. I mean, I heard that Toronto's trying to get approval, but I have not heard if Detroit is going to be one of the places or not.
I heard opening up that Buffalo jumped right in there. And I don't... It was Buffalo and somebody else. I just heard bits and pieces of it on the radio, but for those of you...
Well, that makes more geographical sense.
Well, how much closer is it to Buffalo than it is Detroit?
Well, Detroit's about 4 or 5 hours from Toronto. I'm not exactly sure. I've never... I mean, if you go across the water, Toronto and Buffalo are pretty close, but... No, I don't know. It's certainly an unusual circumstance, but it's good that baseball is getting going. What's it start tomorrow?
It starts Thursday for some teams and then Friday for the rest of the league, including the Chicago teams. By the way, Buffalo to Toronto is an hour and 45 minutes, about 98 miles. It's 3 hours and 46 minutes from Detroit to Toronto. So it's about half as
Yeah, but what difference does it make? You can't come from Canada to watch the game anyway. So it really doesn't matter. It might as well be in Orlando, for God's sake. What's the difference?
There's not going to be that many people there anyways, right?
Well, none. But I'm saying even if there were, you can't drive into Canada now, can you? I don't think so.
Nope, you cannot. Only for big signs on the freeway, only for emergency purposes. Of course, with Detroit being on the border. Only for emergency purposes.
Not that you would know anything about this, but how good are the strip clubs across the border doing?
I have no idea. I really couldn't even have told you before the pandemic. But does it matter, Chief? Does it matter what any retail outlets does it really matter in this market how anyone's doing?
Doesn't matter how anybody's doing, and as long as the market goes up and federal employees and state employees keep getting paid, that's who's in charge of the world right now. Big companies you and I have talked about the market being narrower, getting narrower and narrower. But have you ever seen a day where the only thing that moved were the five stocks? It was like yesterday. Well, there's a few others, but yesterday had to be the most concentrated rally I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, I saw that Jeff Bezos added $13 billion to his war chest yesterday.
Yeah.
That's the largest single bump for a billionaire in one day. The leaders continue to be the leaders, the concentration in those stocks, but it really, at this point, it's a trend, and you cannot fight it.
No, but you do. I saw it before, though, in 2000 and probably before that, but I mean, can Amazon, or what percentage does he own of Amazon?
Bezos?
Yeah.
I do not know the head off the top of my head,
Chief. Well, so, the place went up $100 billion in value yesterday, or 80 or some ridiculous number.
Right.
He owns 4%.
Okay, so then the value of Amazon, Matty, while you're on the page, how many shares they got outstanding? It was up 200 and some bucks.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, it should be on the same page you're looking at. Oh, well, maybe not. Anyway, we're talking about... The company is worth five other companies yesterday. But are the dollars the same dollars, though, Joel? I mean, I just wonder. I would love to see all these things be worth what they're trading for. And maybe they are, maybe they will be. But I can't imagine how much money Amazon has to make. Let's see. They're trading $3,200. There will come a time when people expect them to be making $170 a share and sending people a check for 70. Can you even envision that in your great grandkids' lifetime?
No, but it does. It really doesn't matter. You talk about what companies make. I mean, the prices on the screen. With the prices on the screen is what they're worth, whether or not they'll grow into that valuation. You could have been skeptical of Amazon, the whole way up. They make a lot of money. Will they ever grow into that valuation? Hard to speculate that. Based on the scenario you laid out, no. But like I said, at this point, you said $3,200 is actually closer to $3,300. It's up $65 right now.
Well, I guess what I'm saying, Joe, one of the most fascinating things, and I love kicking around with you because you've been around the business almost as long as I have. One of the most fascinating things is there have been a lot of stocks like this in our lifetime where you sit there and go, wow. I mean, in 2000, wasn't Cisco trading 25 times like revenue or something? Not even earnings.
It was up there, yep.
Yeah. So, yep. History before you and I were in market, railroads were the same way. NBC, before they even had a TV out there on the promise that there was going to be such a thing as TV, well, they took them 30 years after there was TV to get back to the price they were before there wasn't TV. This has happened before. But the most fascinating thing for me is all of a sudden, eBay was kind of like that, right, early on. I mean, the thing was just go up, up, up every day. And you'd sit there and go, how could this thing, everybody in the country would have to stop their regular job and do stuff at eBay for them to grow into it. But the weird part is, Joel, someday, somewhere, and I've never predicted one of them. I've always been early. But someday, somewhere, people are going to say, hey, this Amazon place, what the bleep? They're just a retailer. Well, why aren't they, you know, trading 10 times earnings like the rest of the retailers? Just because they got a bunch of trucks, they're just a retailer. I mean, someday, somewhere, that will happen. You know, and, I mean, obviously they have the cloud thing going and those kinds of things.
So, yeah, I was just going to say that, Chief. Yeah,
But still, the cloud companies, according to Kevin, are pretty competitive. It's not like they're making, you know, 90 bazillion margins in cloud either. You know, they have because they're in everybody's place, they have an advantage there. So I'm not saying they're just like eBay. They're not. I'm saying, but someday, you know, when the railroads get all built and they say, how much is that guy making now that the track's down? It's not warm and fuzzy anymore. I'm looking right at him. Well, they're making, you know, 10 bucks a year. All right, I'll give you 50 bucks for him. not 500. But I mean, you're right. I mean, what I'm saying is, all of a sudden, someday, somebody just becomes a retailer. They just become this, or the TV company that was everybody's wild-eyed, you know, imagination just becomes, hey, they just got a bunch of advertisers, and that's it. This is what they make. I'm saying there is that date and time where all these people come back to Earth, right? And but trying to predict that, Joel, is really pretty tough.
Yeah, I mean, you know, changing economy. Different circumstances. I mean, about shorting. You know that you know the market can remain irrational much longer than you can remain solvent. So
I was
on top of everything, Europe throws in $2 trillion of stimulus.
Right.
I mean, it's just a trend, and it's an undeniable trend, and the trend is your friend. It's much easier said than done, but, you know, all-time highs now in the S&Ps are about 100 points away. And
we'll be there by Friday.
If the Dow rallies 250 points every time there's a positive, vaccine trial, we'll be at 50,000 soon.
Joel, I was on another station, and I only got 30 seconds. I shouldn't have done this because it's
great.
I said, if a stock declares a 50% stock dividend, what happens? And everybody goes, well, the stock drops by basically a third, right? And everybody goes, I said, what if there's a 50% dollar dividend? Nobody had any idea what I was talking about. Same thing, right?
Yeah. No, a lot of different ways to skin a cat here, Chief. And right now, the trend is your friend.
Big Ten football, going to be any?
I'd like to say yes. We've been debating about this back and forth. You say yes. I got the news on no season tickets.
I'm going to say no.
They're going to do everything they can. It all depends on how baseball goes. If they get the baseball season going and a bunch of players don't get sick, then they'll do it. I think that they're being very cautious and they're going to use baseball as a guide.
I'm going to say no. Because too many players, not very many schools out of all the schools that play football could get by just on the TV revenue.
No, I'm trying to be optimistic about it, Chief.
So
but,
am I.
You know, reality and optimism are two different things.
All right, buddy. Talk to you next week. SP right, Futures up 25, NASDAQ Futures up 93. Come back, Mr. Kenny Pulcheri.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, owner of Home Source Realty and frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks radio show. If you're thinking about purchasing real estate, this summer could be a good time to shop around. Whether you're a novice or seasoned investor, low interest rates and good inventory make adding bricks and mortar investment to your portfolio an interesting possibility. Many a great fortune has begun with the purchase of property. Call me today for your personal investment consultation, and I would be happy to get you started on your path to prosperity. You can reach me at AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com or call me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holly. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. We also have Mr. Kenny Polcari. SP Futures up 22. NASDAQ Futures up 82. We have European leaders reach a pivotal deal on pandemic recovery fund. Kenny, you know any of these people? Sylvia Amaro or Christine Wang? They wrote this article in CNBC.
I just know of them. I don't know them personally.
I don't know if you got a chance to read this morning, but they claim that they're going out and they're going to, this is the part that I think you can help me with. They claim that they're tapping the financial markets to raise 750 billion euros, that's $857 billion, and they're going to distribute among the countries and sectors most impacted by the pandemic and will take the form of grants and loans. Now, my question is, and they kind of dodge around it in the rest of the article here, does that mean that the central bank is going to run out and create 750 billion new euros and buy them all back, or if they actually plan on borrowing the money without any monetary expansion whatsoever, I don't think it gets them anywhere, and I don't think they'll ever do that. I think we're talking about, again, monetary expansion, and that's why we're up this morning.
Yeah, I think that's right. I have not seen that article. I'll have to look it up. I did not. I read the journal this morning, and it didn't necessarily describe it that way. But my sense is it's more of the same, right? Which is more of what we've seen happen around the world with central banks, which I agree with you, which is why the European markets are all up better. You know, Italy was up 2%. Italy was up 2%. Spain is up 1.5%. The rest of Europe is up easily almost 1.5%, all on the back of that package. Now, look, they've been talking about it. They've been talking about it for a while. There was some pushback last week with, you know, four of those nations, but they seem to have overcome that. And that announcement of that stimulus package this morning, which in my mind, and I got to read more into it, is very reminiscent of what we've been seeing, right? Printing money, and then stimulating the economy.
I'm going to ask you a personal question. Are you going to make it to 2058?
Am I going to make it to 2058? So let me see. That's another 38 years. I might, I'm 60, right? So,
You can do it.
I'm actually 59.
You can do it.
I might make it. Look, my grandmother just died at 103, and she was in perfect health when she passed away. So there's a possibility can't get.
Well, you got those good Paisan jeans. All my people from Italy all made it to 90 something too. One, yeah, they all had all their own teeth and everything. The ones that came over here, the ones that were that were born here, didn't do so hot. But
I think it's the glass of wine that they drink every night.
You know what? I think it is. Anyway, and I get a little, because the reason why I want to still be here in 2058. Maddie's going to have to tell me when he makes it upstairs and finds me.
You want to see what happens, right?
Now get a load of this. This is the best. In the end, this is like me saying I'm gonna like quit trading or something 30 years from now. In the end, they agreed to distribute 390 billion euros out of the total 750 billion fund in the form of grants, a significant reduction from the initial proposal made by France and Germany and made for 500 billion going to grants. Get a load of this. The EU also agreed net debt issuance will end by 2026, and they will repay all new debt by 2058. I'm going to say, can I get a bet down right now for my grandkids that I don't have? I'll take the over on that.
It's like anything. You just keep kicking that can down the road. You know, 2050 will come or 2004, and all of a sudden they'll just extend it out. They just keep kicking it down the road like everybody does.
Why not make it? Why not make it?
When does it ever? When does it really ever get paid back? It doesn't. Right?
Why don't we just make it 2158? What are we joking about?
Right. What difference does it make? You might as well, because that's what it's going to become at some point, right?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, it used to be what people would say, Kenny, is you can fool all the people some at a time, some of the people all the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. I don't know. I think they think you can now or something, or they got people so crazed with other stuff. In all your years, I'm not going to lead the witness here, in all your years of watching concentrated markets, I suppose there might have been a couple of days like this in 2000.
Yes.
Have you ever seen a day where the entire day was concentrated in the five stocks like yesterday?
No, and I haven't. You know, and it was, I mean, listen, it was those five stocks, but it was also, if you look at a bunch of those work from home stocks like Twilio and CrowdStrike, Twilio was up 10% yesterday. CrowdStrike was up 10% yesterday. I mean, those are names that are outside of those bank stocks, but they are names that have, you know, suddenly during this crisis, those work from home names that have started to really, really propel the market higher. And so I think what's really scary is I think yesterday 8 out of the 11 sectors ended the day negative. Tech was certainly way, way, way out in front as everybody piles in. And here's what the problem is, I think, too. That, you know, and it's funny. On the way up, everyone pats themselves on the back and says, oh, look at how great I am, blah, blah, blah. But it's this passive investing strategy. Everybody just piles into the ETFs, which are passive. They don't know what they own. It just goes up. But it's concentrated. Look, the XLK is 45% of it is Microsoft and Apple. 45% of that ETF is two stocks. And so when it hits the fan on the way down, you and I both know on the way up it's like a stair-step reaction. On the way down, it's getting the elevator and go straight to the bottom. Do we need to discuss, you know, March or December of 2018, what happened and how fast and how quick the knife cut? And so people have to understand that when they get into those passive investments, it makes them feel good on the way up, and it makes them feel doubly bad on the way down because it happens so, so quickly when they all start to run for the door in those names that have absolutely taken the market to where it is. And you know it's coming. I mean, you know it's coming.
Okay,
and it's almost laughable because when it happens, the media goes, oh, my God, crisis in America, crisis in the markets. I mean, are you kidding me?
Well, you and I have been around long enough to know that if the market runs up 30-40% like it's doing, and one day it turns around and goes down to 30-40%.
Exactly.
People are in way worse shape than they were before. And
right.
You would think that somewhere in these stimulus packages, I don't know if a tax thing can get in there, but you would think that these buffoons, and I use that term narrowly here, but this particular, would raise the amount you could take off for capital loss from $3,000. The market is, where the hell are we? 20-some thousand, and it's the same number as when it was 800.
Yeah, 26, we're 20, yeah, just under 27,000.
Yeah, and it was the same number as when we were, when I started the business and we were at 800.
Yeah.
What I'm talking about is if you buy Apple today, and God knows Apple could go down, but I can't imagine that happening, but if it did, and you lost 20 grand, it's going to take you, what, 7 years to write it off?
It's going to take you 7 years to write it off. Yeah. No, listen, I agree. I'm not sure why that number has never been adjusted along the way in all these years, why that number has never been adjusted. You know, maybe it will be, although under a Biden tax plan, maybe not, right?
Well, why didn't it get adjusted under the last? I think they don't want people to sell, Kenny, or something. There's some psychological barrier to that. I mean, when you look at when Clinton was paying back all the stuff in the 90s, we had a surplus for a little while. Although Carl will tell you, if you counted all the money, we never really. Anyway, they're buying back the bonds, or they weren't issuing new bonds. I think a lot of that, Kenny, had to do that when XYZ.bomb went from $2 to $200. That poor bastard had to pay the income tax on it, and the guy who bought it at 200 went back down to one. He didn't get to write any of it off.
Well, he didn't get to write it off the same way. He had to write it off over years, right?
Well, he had to hope that he lived to be like 500.
Well, maybe if he was Italian, he would have.
Yeah, so see, you lose 100 grand, it's 33 years.
Agreed.
It's kind of a while.
I hear you. I hear you. It is antiquated, and they should look at it, but at the moment, it is what it is,
yeah.
And I agree with you. So it creates a conundrum, certainly. But I don't remember. Actually, you know what? I do, and we remember it. It was, 99-2000, with this whole sense of that dot-com bubble burst. Remember, everything dot-com was just out of control, and the rest of the market was kind of just chugging along. But the dot-com bubble created this same sense of euphoria until it burst. And when it burst, it got really ugly.
Well, yeah, but I agree with you about the Zillow and those places. But if all of a sudden, and I don't want to mention this, if this pandemic was 10 times more deadly, which, oh God, I hope it doesn't morph into that. You know what?
No.
Kenny, the casket manufacturers would be a run for a while, but that's not positive.
No, that's not positive. No, not at all.
Well, we'd like to be the first ones in there, you and I.
Yeah, because so, I don't want to be hanging around to see how this all ends. No, God, no.
So what, I got to be stacking the Dow up today. Is it, I guess my question is, we can't name the date, if we could, but it seems to me.
I'm going to tell you today, the market's up again today. We can see that. Tech is certainly leading. But the S&P, when the S&P collapsed in February and it gapped down from 33.57 to 32.57, it left that gap that's been waiting to be filled ever since it happened. And it looks like they're going to start filling it today because we closed last night at 32.51. We're going to open up 25 points according to the futures right now.
Yep.
It's going to take us to 32.75. That's going to begin to fill that gap created in February. And that will be a positive in the sense that the momentum players are going to jump on as they try to continue to fill that gap and challenge the February highs of 33.80 before this is over, in my opinion.
All right, I think you're right, Kenny. I just, if they cut back on this $600, which I think they're going to do, I think they're going to find out how bad the underpinnings of the economy really are.
Do you really think they're going to? I've got to say something. I think the Democrats are going to push hard to reinstate it. I don't think they're going to cut
it. It won't be $600. I'm going to guess. I'll bet you a dollar it's $400.
Really?
It's not going to be $600.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
All right, but we'll talk about it next week. Who do you want to be, Randolph, or what's the other guy's name?
Mortimer.
I think Kenny's more of a Randolph, I think. I don't. That doesn't make me a Mortimer. I don't know. Kenny, take care. SB Futures up 24.75. NASDAQ Futures up 86. Be right back, Mr. Jeff Joseph.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and try to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter, the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Allen. Mr. Matt Werber on the board. S&P futures up 25. NASDAQ futures up 86. We have Mr. Jeff Joseph. And Jeff, last time I saw you, I haven't seen you in a while. You were in, looked like to me like you were in tip-top shape. All you have to do now, you see the world is a little bit swirly right now. You might think that there's some debt around and those kinds of things. And somebody, you know, where's all this money coming from? But now this morning they announced that all you have to do is make it to 2058. And in Europe, they're going to have all their debt is going to be repaid. So all you got to do is hang in there for how many years is that? Another 38 years, and you're good to go, buddy.
All right, that's a possibility mathematically, not a probability, but a possibility.
But it took them 4 days of the negotiations to come up with this.
Yeah, that's amazing.
The net debt issuance will end in 2026. They will repay all the new debt by 2058.
God, see, if you just have faith in government over time.
Manny, were you buying them all shots, or what was going on over here? I love it, though, Jeff. Anyway, it's just the announcement of the morning. But the other 750 billion euros, of course, it hit the market yesterday, and it's hitting it again today. So what do we need? A trillion every, 2 weeks out of somebody to keep us going? Something like that.
And that's where Bezos comes in handy.
Yeah, that's where he comes in handy. So what's up? What are you seeing? Where do you stand on this 600-hour extension of that versus? I mean, I'll ask your opinion because you seem to cross over from the trader side, the investment side to the everyman side, pretty well. The schism in the White House between Mnuchin, don't call him Munchkin, and Larry Kudlow. Goldilocks economy guy. Larry Kudlow wants to have the stimulus be in lower to no payroll taxes for a while, those kinds of things, to get people back to work and incent the employers to get people back. And Munchkin, with the he thinks he's not going to be able to get that something like that through and wants to maintain this 600-hour essential grant that is more money than a lot of people make, which, you know, keeps them at home, maybe. But now you also have, 40% unemployment with people making less than 40 grand a year. So where in that mess do you come out with a program that you think would be the best?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I understand the payroll tax idea and why that's attractive and why that should have perhaps been the first round of stimulus, just because it's effective that way. it reaches employers, it benefits employees, but, you know, right now, I understand that, and if there's anything that is progressive about the next round of stimulus, meaning progressive in the say of reaching those with incomes that achieve $50,000, that should be the element for those. But I think at this point the real concern really needs to be the at-risk populations, and they're not going to be materially impacted by repeal of the payroll tax. It's just not going to provide enough relief. So at-risk populations, those, you know, with incomes below $40,000 and lower, that makes sense. But what doesn't make sense is the $600 that isn't just a fear. It's been proven, anecdotally proven in my world. I've seen it statistically proven in other worlds. I do know that there are employers that cannot fill $15, $17 an hour jobs right now because of the $600 and providing a negative disincentive. So I think that's a problem, but I agree with the conflict, and the conflict being that if the benefits for those who are working, it should be received via payroll tax. But if we're dealing with a smaller pool of funds this time around, and we should be, it should focus on those at-risk populations, and there should be an income cutoff. The income cutoff last time around was pretty high. I was surprised by it. And I think if we're doing this again, we should really be focusing on those lower paid workers, but that $600 is a problem getting business started. So that's a long way of saying I don't know, but I do believe the priority should be at the at-risk populations. I just don't think that $600 payment's the best solution, particularly for small business to, you know, start hiring people again.
Well, Jeff, there's I think what you just said is, I guess what I'm going to say using my we went through probably 2-3 times on the show. I have a chart, graph, whatever you want to call it, of all the different people and what they make in all these different jobs that people have. And if in Illinois, depending on what your income was, if you were a max person, I don't know, Manny, what do you get a week? Illinois, you get 400? 410 or something? Or from Illinois, or is it 3 something? I mean, it's, I think it's, I don't know, I thought it was 1500 a month or something you get from the state. So you add the 24, anyway, it comes out to 23 and a quarter an hour, Jeff. So there's a lot of people, like you're saying, you know, that are making 11, 12, 13, which, you know, you and I think somehow or another you gotta narrow that gap. And if you were to take the, payroll taxes off, well, the 11 or 12 is gonna act like, what, 13 probably. Or 13.5, or somewhere in there, because you're paying a percentage of that. So say it's going to be 10% higher if you don't have payroll taxes, right?
Right.
And if the company doesn't have to pay them either, there's another 5 or 6 that they could lob on.
Yep.
There should be somewhat of a way where if you're home, okay, you get 300, and if you're working, making less than $20 an hour, you get 100 or something. You need to narrow the gap somehow.
A hybrid of those two ideas. That's right.
I mean, we can also go into why the hell in this country is anybody not worth more than $11 an hour. That's another issue. Because I'll tell you what, a couple of breakfast joints I've been to, it's $16.50 an omelet. I hope you're paying a cook $10 an hour, for God's sake. I mean, you would think. Yeah. I'm saying we need to, I think, be a little smarter on some of this stuff with our help. Because right now, I mean, I see, and this, you know, Manny doesn't want me going into this again, because somewhere along the line, Jeff, and I look at this pandemic and I see the numbers starting to turn in Florida today of all places, and it looks to me like it's the exact same mathematical scenario that was in New York, Chicago, and Connecticut. It gets out, enough people get it, and all of a sudden it starts to turn. But the thing that has changed, no matter how much of a scaredy, you know, I'm not saying scaredy cat because it's a serious disease. No matter how much you are, you have to at least agree that every single day, every week, the chances of you dying from it become less because we're learning. it's becoming less and less of the horrific thing it was on St. Patrick's Day. Now, I'm not saying it's there yet, but every week we're making some progress here. Someday, somewhere, even without a, quote, vaccine, somebody's going to have to say, we're going back to work. If you get it, you get it. I mean, we this idea that people want to get paid until there's this 100% chance they can't get it. God's sake, Jeff, when is there ever a 100% chance you don't get whacked on an asteroid, for God's sake? I mean, I'm not saying we're there yet. I'm not the president. I'm not the mayor. It's not my job. But we're getting closer, is all I'm saying. Somewhere along the line, we're not going to shut down a college because some 65-year-old professor feels afraid. You know.
Well, unfortunately, we are, though, and some of those decisions are being made right now, and they, you know, they're not so easily reversible. And that I think that's where the real tragedy is.
I'll reverse it for you tomorrow. You're not getting paid if you don't show up. I'll reverse it. You think the high scalers that built Hoover Dam didn't realize there was some risk there, and if you paid them to stay home and say the risk was too high, they wouldn't have shown up with 120-degree heat chiseling on some rock? I mean, come on. Every time you go to work, there's a risk, right? And it's not as much fun as staying home.
Yeah, but that type of attitude is not pervasive at the Teachers Association.
That's the truth.
It just isn't.
Well, maybe they need an attitude adjustment.
Yeah, well.
You know, you don't teach, you don't get paid. Simple as that. I mean, why should you?
Well, you're preaching to the choir, but you're not going to see that happen. You know, this has become a political issue, and unfortunately, it's not going to be resolved until there's a political outcome. I think that's the reality of it. Like so many issues, you know, one party or another makes a decision to forestall addressing the problems on behalf of the citizens, just so it can remain as a political issue and affect political outcomes. We certainly saw that with immigration. I mean, in the early days of the administration, you know, Trump put an opportunity on the table that went from the 600,000 that was being requested for DACA relief to 1.2 million. He basically doubled up and said, hey, you know, just no more chain migration. Let's cut that deal. That deal would have been the best deal on the table. That was 4 years ago at this point, you know, three and a half years ago. And that could have really addressed a lot of things. And the decision was made to play, you know, political football instead. And, you know, that's clearly going on right now. And you know, there's still a lot of parties that are misinterpreting data differently. Let's say that way.
Well, but you can't the number part of it, and this is, you know, I'm no disease guy. I read a lot of stuff because it comes through here, but the I will say that I, for one, am way, even though I'm, you know, in a compromised area, I'm not a kid, I am way less concerned. I'm going to say I feel my chances, if I get it, of croaking are 10% of what they were in March.
Mm-hmm.
Given the new, you know, the way these guys are dealing with it now and the couple of drugs they have and they're using them, whatever. I mean, it's a lot different than it was there. I mean, there was nobody that was not afraid on St. Patrick's Day, unless you were nuts, right? I'm saying, but I'm not saying it's tomorrow. But this idea that we're canceling the Cub Convention for 2021, I mean, come on. You know, what are we going here? But here's my concern, Jeff, and I know, you know, Maddie, I sound like a broken record, but when you constantly have some percentage of the people not only trying to make it on their own, but they're paying for the other people too. Jeff, the dog doesn't hunt. Someday, somewhere, despite, you know, the Jay Powell, you know, wearing his arm out with his printing press, someday, somewhere, there's an end to that. And I don't want us to get to the point where we just been so busy dealing with our political contingencies on either side. I mean, we're printing money now because the Republicans want the stock market up for the election. Now, does that mean that we collapse in November, when you and I know that if we run up to 100,000 and drop back to 50, it's more harmful than if we never went there in the first place? Unless you happen to be the inside people that get the memo and you're the ones that sell at 100, which is probably not going to be you or me or any of our clients, because we're not going to get the memo. I mean, I try and have puts for everybody, so when that happens, we at least will come out of it unscathed, you know, unless the whole world falls apart. But I mean, that's just me. But, I mean, other people, they don't even know what a put is, or they don't even know what hedging yourself or anything like that is. So, by and large, it's, you know, they're going to do what they call on the floor of the U-turn. I bought Amazon at 800. I saw it trade 4,000, and now it's 700, and now I'm getting hurt, right? I mean, nobody's going to sell it. Nobody's going to sell Apple. Nobody's going to hedge themselves. So you don't really do anybody any good unless you're the one guy who knows, oh, no, tomorrow Chairman Powell says the next inflation number is going to be 2%, and he's got to pull money the other way. The guy who gets that memo is going to be the richest man on earth if he knows how to trade, Jeff, because you know that memo is coming.
That's true.
So, yeah, so
but
so,
a lot more. There are some bright spots on the vaccine news over the last couple of days. You know, that's hopefully can override the political powers that are stalling, you know, our progress on this thing right now. And then there is, you know, between politics, fear, you know, there is a lot of fear out there as a result of disinformation and just genuine fear about the potential impact or the contagion of COVID might have on anyone. I'm surprised by it. I am surprised by people that I run across in everyday life and working in my community. I'm surprised at the high level of genuine fear who don't feel the same way you just expressed, and that is that my chances of dying from this are 10% of what they were as I contracted it in March. That's not a pervasive attitude among those who fear this. They just think it's getting worse. You know, everyone's taking their hose feed, you know, their fire hose from their own bubble, dispensing whatever news they want to hear, they're convinced that this is just getting worse. And then you see the actions of local and regional government suggesting pretty much the same thing, you know, with opening up, then locking down, opening up, then locking down. Meanwhile, the small businesses caught in the middle, buying their food inventory, expecting their restaurant again, and then watching that all disappear. It's just a really hard period to navigate. But people are, you know, just generally feared about this. And that's where I think I think that's the greatest disservice our president has done, is that, you know, he could have taken some notes from Mario Cuomo, which is still, I think, the single best example. It should be taught in universities forever, crisis response, branding, messaging, whatever. Here is the single greatest failure in this country. Andrew Cuomo. The single greatest failure is Cuomo in terms of managing this. Yet he probably has one of the best reputations coming out of this.
Right.
The data speaks for itself. New York and New Jersey obviously have equaled the rest of the country in terms of fatality. But somehow, because he did press conferences and because he laughed with his brother on CNN, somehow that plain talk is considered to be refreshing. It tells you how little our people expect of their leaders, particularly the president. It also tells you what a complete screw-up Trump is.
Oh, right.
Because what a low bar he had to meet. What a very low bar. Yet his own ego and narcissism and everything about him just resists, you know, opportunities to succeed where he might be right on policy or he might be right in the practical notion about it. His total inability to message properly and to do it with some empathy and without ego, it just speaks to what a tremendous failure he is.
Well, the message, I think, is there comes a time, and I was thinking maybe writing something up our first new Dollars and Cents article, and if it was good enough, who knows, maybe you'd want it in the magazine, but I think there comes a time when you have to be able to, you know, if I was president, God knows, nobody wanted that. If I was president, it's time for me to put together on a piece of paper and actually write out my view of the history of this, where each people dropped the ball and where we are now. And this is what we need to do going forward. And even if it's, 300-400 words. It's something that should come from the heart, from that office. I honestly believe this. This is not, we're past the 10 words of insulting on a tweet. This is more, this is deeper than that. I think that actually what happened to the man in the Center for Disease Control, I don't think on day one that there was ever anything. I mean, how many people have said, we essentially got invaded on both coasts by this thing? We got invaded from China on the West Coast. We got invaded from Europe on the East Coast. The WHO, I mean, I have a line in there that says, I don't know who compromised them, but they obviously didn't help. The people that I really, really would like to see a ring in hell for, Jeff, I think that our businesses, you know who sent me onto this? I don't know where our buddy is from Australia, Matty. I'll just use his first name if you can remember. He sent us an email and he goes, in this country, his wife worked for Qantas or somebody? He goes, they were taking people off these airplanes they knew were sick from that area. And then all of a sudden the chairman got this huge bonus, millions of dollars at Qantas, and they shut the airline down, not going. He goes, they knew months before. People are coming off the plane, big fever, falling down. They all knew. I mean, Apple, Nike, you can't tell me that they didn't know that there was a problem there and they were still shipping their people back and forth. They never stopped sending people. Trump, you know I'm no fan of, he's the one that stopped the flights to every one of these idiots now is saying, oh, you gotta wear a mask like in a Nike store or something. They never once said our people are gonna stop going to China last November, which he should have. Right? So I don't think we didn't get any help from those people. The Center of Disease Control, I mean, as much as everybody loves Fauci and I liked him for what he did in the Reagan administration, he looks like an old fossil that's been on the dole for 30 years.
You sense that he's highly political too.
Yeah.
I mean, he just operates like a political animal as well. You know, I think that much is apparent to people, and that's why opinion is so split on him, just like it is on everybody.
Well, I mean, but
there's time for us to, you know, just speak to the realities. You might favor Trump from a policy angle. You just mentioned two reasons why he should get some praise: the early decision to restrict travel from China, and the what was the other one that you just implied?
Why did our people not tell him that the invasion on the East Coast was from Europe? Why didn't we stop travel down there too, to Milan? I mean, all the people on the East Coast. There's two strains. The strain that came to California was the one that came from China. The one in New York, everything I get from these coronavirus sites are saying that the one that came to New York was the one that came out of Europe. So they've already been there 8 weeks.
Sure.
What are we paying these people for? What did Tom Berenger say in Major League? Ricky, this is the out you've been waiting your whole life for? Right? This is the disease we've been paying.
That's right.
We've been paying 300 people a boatload of dough for 30 years to watch out for. And Jeff, how lucky are we that this thing is not worse than it is?
True. That's right.
I mean, I'm just saying, but I don't, we can't allow, I mean, right now we're becoming unglued, I think, economically. Well, you and I have talked, as long as you've been on the show and other people, this is an economic issue that's been around for 20 years. We took off, we offloaded essentially pollution and child labor to China. We totally screwed our working class. And we built up asset prices as a whole different way of looking at things in the world. I mean, when you and I were kids, I mean, when you talk about making wealth, your dad, my stepfather, made $100 a week. They lived comfortably, comfortably in those days, lived comfortably on 80 and put the other 20 in the bank. Now it's getting the right stuff. Nobody makes, well, not nobody, but the lion's share of the population does not make enough money to build wealth from their salary versus what it costs them to live. It hasn't for 20 years. That's a major step in this society from when I was younger. And in the middle part is where you gotta be an apple. You gotta be first of all, I love being an apple, because that's my life. I love stocks, but this is not the way it's supposed to be.
That's right. Yeah,
this is not, and now all of a sudden you get, now all of a sudden these people are getting, they're being crapped on again, right? Again. And what are you finding out? Those are the people that are unemployed. Those are the people that couldn't access these PPP loans. Those, it's the same record, for God's sake, Jeff, or where am I wrong?
No, it is the same, but we move on from one event and one catastrophe to another, and rather than looking at this whole picture, which is a bigger kind of macro assessment that you just took us through, that we're focused on the events, like the next chapter, and not the title of the whole book. So now, while we're all COVID obsessed, we're still not looking at this bigger problem. And to the credit of a few who look at issues of income equality but don't present, nonpartisan solutions or solutions that are practical, there are some who address these issues, at least ring that bell, but, it's the system just doesn't allow them to be addressed.
Jeff, I think the people that are ringing that bell, it's akin to a fart in a hurricane.
Yep.
I know it's a little gross, but anyway, S&P futures up 23, NASDAQ futures up 81. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. Mr. Jeff Joseph, Mr. Matt Weber. Hey, I don't know why here, and Jeff, that the EU leaders continues to say they reach a $2 trillion deal on recovery plan. And yet, when we read the article, it looks like it's, you know, $850 billion, which is still like a real lot. But still, it's, I don't know why the headline doesn't match the other numbers unless there's something the two ladies didn't put in there, but still like a lot of dough. Anyway, S&P futures up 22, NASDAQ futures up 79. It's actually lower than it was. Dow futures up 190. But again, there's a big chunk of cash coming in from the European side. You know, again, we talk about that all the time over, let's see, we got anybody? Oh, there we go. Over in Europe, we've got DAX up 226. That's 1.7%, so they're off their races. FTSE up 31.5%. CAC around up 60, 1.2%, so generally bullish over there. Nikkei up 166.7%. This is kind of odd. Shanghai is only up 6.2%, but they were way up yesterday. Hang Seng did not follow yesterday, but now they're way up today. 577.23. So we take the last 2 days. Those guys are both up, you know, 2.5-3% apiece.
So they come up with the $2 trillion because in addition to the recovery fund, the EU said its next budget, which will fund initiatives between 2021 and 2027, will total 1.074 trillion euros. So the two combined bring the upcoming investments to just over 1.8 trillion euros.
Okay,
so I guess they rounded it to two on the headline.
Well, no, that means $2 trillion. If it's, okay, there you go.
So yeah, 1.8 okay. trillion euros.
Thank you, Matty.
Yep.
10-year 0.61, and we'll ask Jeff in a minute. We got other Twitter questions for him. Why did bonds cannot move? Boone minus 0.45. They're still negative by kind of a lot. Japan is positive by 0.01. Oil's up 92 cents, 41.73. Say this inflation's popping through all these commodities here. Brent up $1.19, 44.47. Natural gas up 165. Pretty soon, man, we have to start giving the corn and soybean report. They're probably going up too. Gold up 24 bucks. I know I should, man, I guess I should have paid up a penny yesterday. What do you think, Jeff? For God's sake. Silver up $1.23. That's unbelievable. Copper up 2 cents, 2.93. I'm just stunned at these numbers on these precious metals. Matty, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Very quiet coming in on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. Absolutely no accidents or delays to speak of on the Edens or Kennedy. Eisenhower and Stevenson looking good. Ryan, I-57, and the Bishop Ford are all quiet, as is Lakeshore Drive. Suburban tollways are all quiet, too. Just a couple of crashes on the screen, and they're both in the northwestern suburbs. First one is at Higgins Road on the eastbound side at North Arlington Heights Road. And then just southwest of there, it looks like we have a crash at in Glen Ellen at Lake Street and Glen Ellen Road causing us a bit of a slowdown. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, lots of clouds early, some rain in the forecast later on. We'll reach a high of 81. Right now it's overcast and 74 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies and very hot, a high of 108 today. Right now it's clear and 91. In sports, two baseball teams in town are wrapping up their exhibition schedule. They played a couple of games against each other, Sunday night at Wrigley, and then last night down on the south side at Guaranteed Rate Field. And the White Sox tapped Yu Darvish for 5 runs in the first, highlighted by a grand slam from Eloy Jimenez. And that was all they needed. They held on to beat the Cubs 5-3. Both teams opened their 60-game regular season on Friday. Chief.
Real quick, Matty, a quick sports question. You too, Jeff. Is Yu Darvish that good?
He was really good the second half last year. In fact, I think he was like the best pitcher in baseball for his last 15 starts last year. But his first half was really bad, and then the year before he had all the injuries. So it's hard to say. they're hoping if they get the second half Yu Darvish from last year, then they have an ace, which is what they paid for. But if he reverts back to first half Yu Darvish or injured Yu Darvish, then he's going to be a bust.
Who did they give up for him?
Nothing. They signed him.
Oh, they signed him. Okay. Yeah. Not like Contreras, where we gave up, what's his name for him?
Contreras. They signed him as well.
Who's the guy from the Sox they got?
Venezuela. Jose Quintana?
Yeah, that's
yeah. They traded Eloy Jimenez for Quintana.
Right.
It was Eloy Jimenez and Dylan Cease. And so Eloy Jimenez is the starting left fielder and big power bat, and then Dylan Cease is in the rotation. So the White Sox definitely felt pretty good about that trade, but the Cubs got a number three starter for the last 3 years who's been very solid and gone 200 innings every year and been a solid pitcher. So, I mean, you could see both sides of that one.
Why don't you read off those two questions for Jeff, because I want to talk to him a little bit about some stuff I noticed, well, before, about the inflation numbers. But
yeah, we got a couple. We always have a bunch of listener questions every day on Twitter, and you can follow us on Twitter at @StocksLetterNJocks, but just a couple that came up from your guys' previous conversation. From Michael, who writes in, does Jeff know anything about non-governmental organizations such as USAID? And then he says, and does Jeff look at Act Blue, the technology company who collects political contributions?
No, I have to admit I'm not familiar with Act Blue.
Act Blue was the second one, yep. They apparently are a technology company who collects political contributions.
Do they get to wet their beak along the way? What they say in Chicago? Can I wet my beak?
I would imagine they take some sort of cut. What about, do you know anything about non-governmental organizations such as USAID, which I've never heard of. That sounds familiar to me.
No, right?
I don't. The one I'm familiar with and a political technology company is called Aristotle. John Phillips is the CEO. It's a D.C.-based firm that's been around for 30 years. And political technology companies like that, which it appears is, I know the name Act Blue, so it falls in the same category, but Act Blue is more involved specifically on transaction revenue from political fundraising, whereby Aristotle is a platform that every campaign, whether it be grassroots organization or major parties political campaign up to the presidency, every campaign from both sides, Democrats and Republicans, have used Aristotle because they're politically agnostic. It's strictly a platform tool, you know, like a software as a service platform that allows you to organize your database and target through every platform, from social media to direct email, etc., target individual characteristics in a campaign demographic. So, but Act Blue is a new name to me in terms of how they actually operate, other than knowing that their revenue is transaction based on fundraising.
Jeff, where do those guys get their database about characteristics?
That's a good question. I know this one company pretty well, Aristotle, and they get it from a variety of different innocuous kind of participations that you're involved in. So, if you're signing a petition online, if you're joining a club, if you're signing up for a newsletter that has a political perspective, all that data ultimately rolls into companies who seek to acquire it and then start creating profiles of individuals. So they may not know, where you live, but they know your IP address where you live, not the home you live, but they'll know that you read the Daily Beast, that you read The Hill, you read The Intercept, you've signed two petitions at change.gov, you know, they start creating these profiles of individuals. The same thing that Cambridge Analytics did. That's the same business. So they're acquiring data on you from different vendors who are happy to sell it. And you've acquiesced either passively or overtly by accepting some sort of provision at a sign-up stage where you've read the terms and conditions that allows your data to be shared. You know, something we've spoken to quite a bit in the past, you know, the biggest crime that's out there is that the manner of this Faustian trade where we give our data away for free because of convenience to use a particular platform. And, of course, we all know that Google and Facebook and Amazon in that order are the three biggest users of that information.
Well, I don't know where they get much on me because I don't do any of that stuff.
Well, you use Google,
that's true.
And Google by far is the person sharing the most information. Any topic you're searching tells a lot about who you are, so that's they're getting it from there. And if you want to do anything about it, you go to DuckDuckGo and use that as a browser. I've been using it for the last year and a half, but I have to admit it's a shame because DuckDuckGo has no cookies, it tracks no information. It saves nothing on you. You'll never be retargeted on anything you search, ever. It's a very altruistic search engine. It just doesn't have the quality. And being editorial director of a magazine, when I'm searching something, I really need to know all the answers as much as possible.
I thought they used Google.
As much as on a personal basis, I use DuckDuckGo and want to use DuckDuckGo only, you end up using Google because it's such a better platform and product.
I could have sworn our man
Google is by far the biggest culprit in the theft of our private information.
I could have sworn our man Kevin said that DuckDuckGo used Google; they just did it anonymously for you.
Well, yes, but they don't. You'll see. You can do it right now within a minute. You use the same search the same terms. You'll get decidedly different results.
Really?
So whether they're using it as an API on the back end with certain decreased functionality, you'll see you're just not getting the same thing. The top line assessment that he made is true. They are guaranteeing privacy and not using any of the data. And you're doing it blindly as opposed to pinged by your IP address. So it's not assigning your search, your content, any of your activity or characteristics or your GPS, all of which Google assigns to you. Google knows where you are right now. You know, if you're on a Chrome phone and you use that as your primary browser on your mobile phone.
I don't do any of that stuff.
Where you're sitting right now.
The nice thing about being as many registrations as I have, Jeff, is you can't, unless I want to track myself everywhere, everything I do, I mean, that's why, for people who listen to the show, obviously I would never do the show if I couldn't have people like you on here to really bring most of the ideas. And I don't give investment advice, and I'll talk about a stock, but I'm never going to say you should buy it or sell it. I mean, because I could never do that with all the registrations I have. Right? I mean, when people ask, why do you ask somebody else if they like a stock? It's because I can't say that, right? So, or should you buy it type of thing. So that means I don't Twitter for PTI. I mean, I don't do those kinds of things. And every email has to come from my PTI email, which is archived and all that stuff. So, you know, in one hand, the industry keeps me out of trouble. Let's put it that way. To a certain extent, anyway. I'm sure not totally, like you say.
Yeah, but you get into your own trouble on your own.
Oh, sure. Know? I mean, yeah. I mean, I read the stuff from, like, you and Carl. That's enough to get me in trouble. You know, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Hey, one of the things, I want to run this one by you, and I don't want to beat up on this one too much, but once in a while when you see things, it's not necessarily what people do, it's kind of what you interpret what they do. And I've been looking more towards not what people do, but why they see what they just thought they saw. And I was one of the protests earlier allegedly about Black Lives Matter was about, it was the University of Chicago, it was down in that area. It wasn't the University of Chicago demonstration. And there's this, you know, big African American lady, I don't think she knew she was going to be on TV, and she's ranting and raving about affordable housing. And immediately, you know, pricked my ears up, and I'm going, you know, I mean, if she was going to be on TV, she probably would have acted or looked a little different. I mean, I might actually, like, wear a suit or something, and comb my hair, possibly. But anyway, she's talking about it, and you know what, Jeff? She's absolutely right. I mean, just because you don't necessarily like maybe how a person has given you the message, if you go on this, as you know, I've done some research on prices, and they're totally different than what I use the term stooges are giving us. I mean, and we've been lied to like forever. And I mean, it's constantly the theme. You and I had, you know, 15 minutes into our segment here, the people on the low end just keep getting screwed. I mean, if you look at, I'm gonna say this. I'm looking at the U.S. debt clock. Median income now, and I think this number is light, Jeff, so I'm not going to. They have 34,000, and a median income in 2000 was 30,728. I'm going to say I don't like their number. I'm going to say that 34222 is really, I'm going to guess it's 36, 37, Jeff, but it's not 50, right? I mean, so it's higher than this. The median new home now, 323, median new home in 2000 was 165. And I'm going to say, on top of that, I will say higher education, because I went through all these numbers, and I'm on a rainy day, Jeff. That's what they could find me going through stuff like that. That probably gets them more pissed off than me going through porn, probably. I'm going to say we're 2.85 times as high on education as we were on education people pay for, like universities and so forth, than we were in 2000. Now we've got this median income up what? I'm going to say, I'll be generous and say 15 to 20%. Right? So the housing prices have doubled. I've got the, university education up 2.85%. That's without all the little tricks about in-state, out-of-state, and all that stuff, which really adds to it. I didn't go through all that. It's probably actually more like three or more. I also went through, hospitalization paid for by businesses for their employees from 2000 to today. You know what, Jeff? It's almost the exact same number, 2.85. Hmm. And you know what's, and the next one, and this is sloppy, I'll admit, but you know, maybe you can tell me a better way to do it. I was looking for primary education, and the only way I could find it was to say, okay, what's primary education? It's probably what? You know better than me. You live in Evanston. Is it 60% of your tax bill or 55, something like that? Is your education?
It's over 50.
I'm going to say 55. I don't think it's over
that much. I know.
It's not like 70 or anything. It's more like, I think it's somewhere between 50 and 60, wherever you are. Well, if you look at the increase in taxes in Illinois, try and find out what the state taxes are in every other state, Jeff. It's a job. So I zeroed in on Illinois. You know what? Damn it. It's the same number. It's like 2.85% higher than it was. Not 2.85%, 285% higher than it was in 2000. So those three numbers, hospitalization, primary education, and are up, let's say, 300%. Houses have doubled, and people's income is 20%. You want to know why people are protesting in the streets? I mean, obviously, you know, some policeman killed a guy, or the guy died in his care in Minnesota, which shouldn't have happened. These economic undercurrents are all over the place, and we're not getting rid of it. And you know, I mentioned this the other day, but you'll appreciate this, I think. I somehow went on. I use YouTube a lot because I like to cook, and I watch these guys cook, and a lot of different ways to do recipes on there. And I see this thing about why did Germany, you know, love Hitler? So of course I kick it on, being the history buff that I am. And they got all these historians, most of them are probably dead, but they say, you know, after the war, the German populace could not understand how the hell they lost. They had more money, they had the better army, they knew the Americans came in and helped the other guy, but still, they were just, it was us losing a softball game or something in the playoffs when we're, you know, five run favorites or something. I mean, you go the whole off season wondering how the hell you lost, but that's only a softball game. So Hitler was the first guy to realize that this was still in the population, and he started attaching scapegoats. It wasn't your fault. It was this over here. And our population right now is very, very vulnerable. And you know, in terms of leadership, we can go any direction here. I mean, everybody thinks
we did.
Well, yeah, I was saying, but everybody thinks during the Depression. I mean, most Americans have said, "Hey, what was it like in the Depression? Oh man, people just like stuck it out." No, they didn't. Armin Hammer's dad went to jail for attending one communist rally. The guy was a doctor, and they threw him in jail. There were all kinds of people who were saying, hey, this system of government ain't doing so hot. Maybe we should look at something else, right? And it's essentially what we're doing now. All kinds of people are saying, this isn't working for big swaths of the population. You know what, Jeff? I think we better find somebody. I don't give a crap whether they're from the moon, whether they're black, white, blue, male, female, trans. I don't care who they are. We better find somebody that can put this bus back on its track, I think. I mean, that's just me. I'm more half empty on this because I see the economics of it. The economics suck. And then please talk me down.
Well, two thoughts. First one is that some person, Joe Biden or whoever he identifies as, Vice President? Probably not. A second thought is you have to acknowledge we were on a pretty good track 6 months ago. We were on a better track. We weren't addressing the big questions that you've just itemized here, but we were getting material upticks in KPIs, right? You had key performance indicators that were putting more people back to work, and you had something that was happening. You know, the Obama administration said that 3% GDP was not something that could ever be achieved anymore, and you know we saw aspects of hope on higher growth. Obviously, that doesn't address the larger problem of rising healthcare costs and shadow inflation that you're describing, but it was definitely on the right track.
I would say, Jeff,
excellent economic indicators, and there's no one that would deny that. That's why the Democratic Party was just in throes about what was likely going to be an outcome in favor of this president to be reelected, and that's why they've adopted so many of their policies about not negotiating and continuing to make sure that these issues are, you know, to increase the tension on everything, on Ukraine, which was a relative non-issue, and keep on talking about Russia despite, you know, a Mueller report that said that there wasn't anything to see there, to keep on, you know, harping on everything just because they wanted to take out the eye off the ball, because it's still, as Carville said to Bill Clinton, it's still the economy, stupid, and the economy was going his way. It's just an amazing, think of the amazing things that occurred here, and they're really unprecedented, a word that journalists throw around all the time, but it's true here. Biden was done. He was toast. The prediction markets had him at 7% to win the nomination. 7%. He was completely written off before Clyburn from South Carolina gave him that endorsement that allowed him to win the South on Super Tuesday. He was gone. He was dead. Trump was on a roll.
Was he despite
everything you saw, with the economy and the way it was acting, you know, he looked to be in a very comfortable position to re-election. The prediction markets had him as a favorite by at least 5 or 6 or 7 points for the 6 months going into the end of the year before we saw the outbreak of the virus. You talk about black swan events, which is thrown around a lot. Those two black swan events, Clyburn's endorsement of Biden and the virus hitting the world, is what completely turned this thing around. So go back to your original premise and question, is that is Joe Biden the person to address all these issues? And we know Joe Biden's not going to do anything. It's his vice president will truly be the de facto president in many, many ways. So is it Kamala Harris or Susan Rice that you're looking to then to solve our economic problems?
Was Biden down further than Nixon with the checker speech?
I don't know. But he was at 7 cents. That's dead. That's dead politically.
So where do you think Nixon would have been if the thing would have been going
to the
title?
Wasn't anybody. He'd come in, fourth in Iowa, came in fifth in Vegas, came in third in New Hampshire. I might have those numbers wrong, but in each one of those, he was not in the top four, right?
Regarding the economy,
he was completely written off.
Regarding the economy, not just to be argumentative on radio, if you would have taken the last 6 years you're talking about this alleged economic growth, if you would have taken the medical piece of the CPI and raised it from 6% to the 20% it ought to be, and adjusted your inflation numbers by that and your GDP deflator, I'm going to say we never would have been over 1% growth, and most of the time we'd have been negative in real growth. Just saying.
Yeah. Well, that is absolutely possible, but regardless of any alterations that you'd make in those numbers, they were moving in the right direction.
Well, plus everybody was talking about them, and as they said in the movie,
Clearly, with respect to unemployment data, that was clearly going in the right direction.
Right, it was going in the right direction, and we went to, in a lot of ways, and you and I will talk about this next week, we went from people unemployed to being employed on basically on welfare, right? I mean, people were on, $10 an hour is not much different than being unemployed. Just saying. Well, what's up, about it? Jeff, thank you very much. Hey, Luckbox is the issue's on the shelf. You can get it on either in the stores or luckbox.com, correct?
Get luckbox.com for your free digital subscription. Get luckbox.com.
All right, buddy, thank you very much. We got to get together one of these nights before they close the saloons again, for God's sake. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. Stocks and Jacks, SP Futures up 21, NASDAQ Futures up 70. Back tomorrow.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.